Jason Nathanson joins us now, Steve. So I'm just going to ask you real quick as I do it. The Dow is currently at...
Let me just check here, Johnny boy.
And Elif is looking into...
Down 702.
702.
Which is 2.8%. So it's off the low for the day. I saw it as low as like 736, I think, and even 3% drop.
Here's how bad it is. You just said it's off 702, and I went, whew, okay.
Right.
Okay, down 702. All about a possible trade war with China. It's 211 on WGN. That will be there. Let's take our mind off it for a second and talk to Jason Nathanson, who writes and reports about the entertainment scene for ABC News. Jason, it's John. You're back on WGN. How are you?
Well, now that the Dow's down only 702 points, I'm fine. 736, that got me worried.
But I was on the ledge at 730, but 702, I don't have a care in the world.
Going into the weekend, feeling very positive.
All right, I want to just throw a couple things at you here. You ready, Jason?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, we started the show just kicking a couple of things around. One of them was the very notion of Chappaquiddick, which opens as a major motion picture release in theaters tonight. Who thought that America was itching to see a movie about that?
Well, you know, I think it's an interesting story in our nation's history that a lot of people probably don't know, especially the younger generation.
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, if it had happened in this day and age, could you imagine with the type of media coverage we have now? For something like this, for a senator who sat for so long from one of this country's major political families to have been involved in something like this where a woman died, it would be all over the place today. And this was something that was kind of hushed and, you know, kept quiet. So I think it's something that somebody found. Certainly there's dramatic, it's a dramatic story that somebody found, hey, you know, maybe this could be good for the big screen.
Boy, if you think about it, the Kennedys were able to get away with stuff that you would not get away with today. The current administration notwithstanding, that's turning everything upside down. But in a world of social media and hyper-partisan platforms, the Kennedys should thank their lucky stars that however unfortunate their lives have been, they were spared this sort of scrutiny that they would be getting today.
Absolutely. I mean, and there's been, you know, certainly whispers and rumors about all the things going on from, you know, the women going in and out of the Oval Office to, you know, whatever happened and all sorts of things. But, you know, that was a different time. That was a different era. And it was rampant with everybody, Republicans, Democrats, yeah, men, women, you name it. It was going on, but it wasn't something that was spotlighted and highlighted as it is today and used for partisan purposes. I think there was almost a, you know, some kind of sick gentleman's agreement back then is, you know, I'm not going to expose you because then you can expose me and we're both doing the same kind of dirty things. So let's just, you know, keep it to the back rooms and the smoke-filled clubs. These days, you know, everything comes out eventually. So
did you like this movie?
I have not seen Chappaquiddick.
No.
Of the three that opened this weekend, I saw Blockers, which is the R-rated comedy. So Chappaquiddick is not going to make a whole lot of money this weekend. It's getting good reviews, though. So if that's something, you know, a time in history you want to learn about or see about, and, you know, I always caution with these historical or quote-unquote historical movies, they take poetic license with a lot of it. So you're going to watch it and think you know the history behind it, but really, they make a lot of stuff up.
What did you think of Blockers?
Blockers is funny. This is the R-rated comedy about a group of parents who are trying to stop their daughters from having sex on prom night. It's one of those kind of, if you remember the R-rated comedies, the teenage R-rated comedies of the 80s, like Porky's and Meatballs and, you know, all those kinds of things. This kind of is a little bit of that mixed with Superbad and
American Pie, yeah.
Exactly. But with girls at the center of it instead of guys, and usually it's guys. This time it's girls, teenage girls talking about sex. And there's parts of it that are very, very funny. It's as a whole, maybe not as funny as I want it to be. It's a little sappy in places. They get emotional, which is fine. I don't, you know, sometimes they do that right, and sometimes they do it wrong. I liked it, but I don't know that you need to rush out to theaters to see it.
It's getting 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. Also opening this weekend is Solo, a Star Wars movie.
No. That's not opening this weekend. That's the big Star Wars movie that's going to come out next month. The story today is that they just announced that it's going to premiere at the Cannes Film Festival. That's going to be a huge premiere when that happens. Highly anticipated. Everybody wants to see this, and everybody's wondering, basically, bottom line, is it good? Because they fired the directors, the original directors, about three-quarters of the way through it, replaced them with Ron Howard, who had to do a bunch of reshoots and things like that. So, you know, people are wondering, you know, was it that bad that they needed, and could Ron Howard actually fix it? So we'll find out. The first reviews will come out of the Cannes Film Festival.
I got it. A Quiet Place. I've heard a lot about this, and the critics I'm reading and hearing about generally are giving it pretty good reviews. I thought the premise was so crazy that it just couldn't be a good movie, but maybe there's hope for this one, huh?
Yeah, it's actually getting great reviews, and of all the movies opening this weekend, I'm actually going to spend my own money to go see this one tonight, which is a rare thing, because of my job, I get invited to see a lot of these for free. But this one, I didn't get a chance to see it ahead of time. It looks really good. I have a lot of friends who are excited about it. This is John Krasinski from The Office. He co-wrote, he directed, and he stars in it with his wife, Emily Blunt. They're both in this, and it's a horror film about a family who's forced to live in silence because they live in a world where creatures, when they hear sound, they hunt you. So they have to be quiet. So it's basically a silent film, a horror film that's a silent film. And I'm kind of with you. Like, that doesn't sound appealing to me for 2 hours necessarily, but apparently it's very good. And the way they do it, inventive, creative, and scary.
I guess she gives birth at some scene in the movie. I was watching a story about it, and that means, ladies, you have to bear that child without making so much as a peep, or the monster will get you and the kid. And I guess that's a pretty chilling scene. But I'm thinking, wait a minute, what? The world has these monsters, and if they hear you, they eat you. And so you're playing Monopoly on the rug so that the dice don't make any sound. Like, that's otherwise we're fine. That's okay if you have mice. It's not okay if you have monsters that will eat you. So it's just too preposterous for me.
Well, you know, but it's those movies, especially when, I feel the same as you. It sounds like something crazy, but when a lot of people are saying this is actually really good, I'll go see it.
Yeah, right. I mean, I haven't seen it, so I'll have to report back to you on that as well. I did, by the way, go see, we saw the new Steven Spielberg movie last night, and I don't know if you've seen that, Jason. Are you still there? Yeah, he just clicked out too. That's two times today that somebody was listening to me and suddenly the phone went dead. I'm going to try and not take that personally. Jason, are you still there? He is not. It's 2:18 on WGN. Jason is the entertainment reporter for ABC, or at least he was. I don't know, maybe he just got fired. I'm not real sure what happened there. We'll take a break. If he's around, we'll finish this conversation. If not, I also have questions about what is going on with the market today. We're continuing to follow that all the way until it closes in about 50 minutes. But hey, Jason connected with us again. Let's wrap this conversation up. I wanted to ask you about just a couple more movies real quick, if you got a minute, Jason. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Jason Nathanson, the entertainment reporter for ABC. I saw Ready Player One. I was disappointed. In general, what was your take on the new Spielberg movie?
Yeah, I would share your disappointment. I went into it, and this is one of the things that's kind of, you go into it maybe with a over expectations, a sense of hype going into it. I love Spielberg. I love especially when he returns to this kind of big blockbuster, kind of steeped in nostalgia type thing. I thought that would be something that would be interesting for me. I'm not really a video game kind of guy, though, so that wasn't that interesting. But it was, I don't know, kind of formulaic, a little by the numbers. It didn't really speak to me as anything inventive. It looked pretty cool with all the virtual reality and stuff like that, but that wasn't enough for me. I didn't find that it had the heart that I expected from a Steven Spielberg movie.
And at the very end, they sort of you know, moralize a little bit about how much more important it is that we live in our real world rather than in our virtual world, our games, our phones, our devices. Or say if you had a virtual world device where you could actually develop an avatar and not actually participate in the real world. And so they moralize a little bit about it at the end. And I thought they didn't do that well either. I thought that was kind of pointless.
Yeah, I don't know, pointless or not. any time this generation is exposed to that kind of moralizing when it says live in the real world and get off the screen, I'm okay with that. As somebody who lives in screens for most of my life, you know, but that's my job. But I get very old manish when it comes to something like this,
because
see kids buried in screens too much, and I feel like it's a huge problem. So anytime you have a movie where kids might be seeing it and you have that message at the end, I'm okay with it, even if it didn't resonate with me. Hopefully, maybe a little bit resonated with some of them.
Even if their hope is that you only stay off the screen for 2 days a week. Amy Schumer is refusing to do interviews with Sinclair TV stations to promote her new movie. I guess that's just backlash from that video montage that went out, huh?
Yeah, this is at least one station, WJLA in Washington, D.C., which is an ABC affiliate. She said, you know, she's in the middle of a press tour for her new movie, I Feel Pretty, and when you do that, you do hundreds of interviews with different people. You don't know who most of them are. And usually it's a round-robin type thing where it's just interview after interview after interview. But apparently the WJLA was supposed to do an interview, and Schumer said, no, I don't want to do an interview with them because they are Sinclair, who has come under fire for, you know, their conservative views, seemingly forcing anchors to read things about quote-unquote fake news and things like that in that montage that came out. That was very, you know, a very striking montage. And Schumer, of course, is a very outspoken advocate when it comes to gun control reform and things like that. So she said no, and it's interesting to see if that's going to start a trend, if other actors will follow, because, I mean, we're in these press junkets, you know, 90% of the year there's a press junket going on. And if stars start saying no, Sinclair is the largest owner of TV stations around the country, that'll be an interesting battle.
I sure hope that the Roseanne TV show each week doesn't get broken down into what she said, and then we use that as some sort of measuring stick against Donald Trump or her. I'd like to see that show exist on its own merit. They say they're not going to be political in every episode, but then if she says anything that is, you know, current, they say, aha, she said that, and therefore we should or shouldn't watch the show. You know what I mean?
Well, Tuesday's episode wasn't political overtly in the sense of it had nothing to do with Republicans versus Democrats, but it did break down on political lines, conservative versus liberal, when it came to spanking and certain views and things like that. And unfortunately, every episode is going to get broken down line by line into what she said, what she tweeted that day or didn't tweet. You know, last Friday she went on a Twitter rant. And so if she keeps doing that and putting herself in the news, then that's going to be a part of the whole discussion. And unfortunately, overshadow what was supposed to be the original intent of the series, which was to bring people together.
That's interesting. So as much as I hope that for the show, she's got to stay out of the political realm herself a little bit. Stop being Roseanne Barr and be Roseanne Connors or whatever it is.
Well, I don't know. Some would say that the added attention to her and scrutiny of her, any kind of stuff like that, helps ratings. It keeps the show in the news, and it galvanizes maybe the forces on the right to, you know, want to sit down and watch it in order to support her, to support the president, to support these views that they're not seeing as much on TV. We've seen that maybe perhaps when it came to football and the kneeling controversy and people tuning out. And we saw that when it came to the polls and people going to the polls, defying a lot of logic or a lot of the pollsters when it came to electing President Trump. So the more she talks and the more she tweets, I think the better it probably is for the show, but the bigger headache it is for executives at ABC.
Yeah, I wonder if that's going to happen now. I mean, we already do that with our news networks. You watch Fox, I'll watch, you know, MSNBC, you watch the NFL, and I won't watch the NFL because I don't agree with the politics behind it now. I wonder if that's going to happen with entertainment programming. I'm not going to watch that show, and you will, because of the politics.
Well, I think for a long time it's been, I'm not going to watch that show. I'm going to tune out of the Oscars, the Emmys, the late-night shows, Will and Grace, etc., because they are politically bent to the left. And there hasn't been a place necessarily for more conservative views to go.
It's, that's a good point.
Fox News, now you have Roseanne.
How about that? Hey, nice to talk to you, Nathan. We'll visit with you again. I appreciate your time.
Sounds good.
I just called him Nathan. I've got two things in my ear at the same time. That's Jason Nathanson.